Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Alligator.
Yeah.
Alligator.
No.
No.
Rabbit.
I should give you the town.
Killed by a rabbit.
Yeah, vengeful rabbit for Harold the Rabbit, who was untimely demise here in D.C. No, in Naples, Florida, he turned and saw a brown or a black bear.
Ooh.
And he said immediately, Naples. He said everything went in slow motion. It was just as scary as you can imagine.
Get big, dog.
It was standing in front of me. I tried to turn left real quick and get back in the house, but an uppercut from the bear.
Run uppercut. Ooh. Be working on that with Angie Dundee.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. I've got a sore throat and a cough, so I'm going to struggle through this. The rest of my body doesn't hurt. My throat hurts, and it causes me to cough all the time. You're going to have to live with that today.
Not all heroes wear capes.
That's right. Gary Braun is here. Crystal Liz is here. Michael Kornheiser is here with mittens for Bootsy. Nigel's going to run the board and do the news. We're at Chatter. We have a big crowd today. Thank you. Applaud yourself.
Yeah.
Holiday breakfast crowd. We, you know, spilled out over the room and into the bar, which is very, very nice. There's only one way for me to begin this show, and it is to describe in excruciating detail what I did as that pass to Stephon Diggs ends up in the end zone. It's fourth game of four pretty good games, Saturday, Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three.
Well, the New England game wasn't all that good.
Nah.
All right. There is no way on earth that New Orleans can lose the game.
Right.
New Orleans has come back. Drew Brees has thrown 3 second-half touchdowns. They've gotten themselves in position for a field goal. The field goal is true.
By the way, predictably come back because they were left too much time.
That's right.
By a team that made some questionable play calls there in the prior drive. You don't want to leave Drew. I say this as a Redskin fan who played them a few weeks ago. You do not want to leave Drew Brees a minute 20 in a timeout.
And, then he left like about 30 seconds.
25.
25 seconds. And now on the last play of the game, they're down to 10 seconds. Not only Case Keenum, Cam Newton doesn't have an arm to get you to the end zone on that. You just can't.
Right. You're on your own 39.
They're 25 yards out of field goal.
It's an 80-yard pass in the air. So they're going to do a pass. Hopefully, on Minnesota's case, they're going to get to the sidelines, complete a pass, stop the clock, and take a 50 to 60-yard field goal.
So they're not trying to score, is what you're saying.
They're not, right?
Correct.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not trying to score. Marcus Williams commits the worst act of a free safety I've ever seen in my life. He somehow goes under Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs is left alone then to turn around, doesn't have to get out of bounds, runs 30 yards and scores, and then poses for an hour and a half.
A lot of posing.
And how did it feel? Did anyone ask him how it felt?
We'll get to that in a little while. Actually, let's get to that now. This is a direct quote from Stephon Diggs, a proud alum of the University of Maryland.
You could actually say it, this being a podcast.
I won't say it, though. I won't use the word.
University of Maryland.
I won't use the word. He is talking to, what's her name? Jocena Anderson.
Right.
He's
right.
Talking to Jocena Anderson, and he takes a lot of time to praise God. You know, in the way that athletes praise God for creating a universe in which they can excel.
Right. Everyone knows it's God hates the saints.
Sort of about that. Yeah. And then he says, and this is a direct quote, "Damn, this blank, beginning with S, ending in T, feels good."
You can say that now, by the way.
I'm not going to say it, which I thought was a great quote.
Yes.
Because Marcus Williams makes, again, the worst play I've ever seen. And I sit on my couch, go, "Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God." And I immediately call Wilbon, who is saying the same thing on his couch in Chicago. Because we've never seen anything like this. It's not possible that Minnesota wins the game. How do they win?
It was miraculous, to use to be hyperbolic. But I had the same reaction as you. I mean, not only
you see the players go, "What the?" You know, and didn't believe it.
And it didn't have that whole drive. I use the term loosely. As you said, they only got the ball back with 25 seconds left. But it wasn't going well. It was not going well. They'd completed like one short pass.
You missed two.
Out of bounds, stopped the
penalty.
Clock, missed
the first play was play was a penalty.
Right.
It was a false start.
That's right. So they backed themselves up their 20.
They're going to lose.
And I guess my reaction was like anyone else is watching it, which is just, oh my God. I mean, Case Keenum threw his hands to his head and said, oh my God.
His reaction
reminded me of Thomas Hill in the Leitner game, if you remember, when they showed the cutaway of Thomas Hill, and he just puts his hands to his head and says, oh my God, like he can't believe what he had just seen.
So you know who I felt worse for than anyone else? Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd is one play away from 4-0.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, he's one play away from 4-0. He's going to be back at 500. He's got a real chance.
Let me say, if I can advocate for Chuck Todd, that game went off everywhere at 5.5.
Such a dagger.
To 6. So he would have won that game. Anyone who bet New Orleans yesterday won that game when the Vikings kneeled on the extra point.
So he gets a W?
I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to administer. It was 4 when you gave it to him.
It just went up.
But it just went up. But yeah, that's by the way, Exhibit A as to why you don't
never
bet the NFL. And by the way, that is why that is why for me this league remains second to none. There's just nothing like that. I mean, you can have a walk-off homer, you can have a buzzer beater. They're awesome endings in whatever sport, but. How I can sit and watch a game of football, and I have consumed just about every game the NFL has made available to me for a quarter of a century, that I could sit there and watch the end of that game and say, my God, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, how can I not have seen it all? How can we not have seen it all?
Nobody
the way
saw
we
that.
Consume this
Troy Aikman was like, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, it was...
That followed... Whatever you think about the Jacksonville team, that followed a
great
really
game.
Good game.
Tremendous.
That's a really good
game. Back
and
forth, back and forth.
Because Jacksonville goes out 7-0, 14-0, 21-0, 21-7, 28-7. And you say, and each time, Ben Roethlisberger, and this is the weirdness, they ran 7 or 8 fourth down plays. Every time he threw the ball deep, he scored a touchdown on a fourth down play.
Can't
every time he threw the
one.
Ball short, it was incomplete. Or they handed it off to Le'Veon Bell, who didn't even make the line of scrimmage. Why isn't he running a quarterback sneak at 6'6"?
What's amazing, you were surprised that it got to where it got. I was surprised that I came into it at 28-21 after coaching my son's basketball team to a victory.
Nice.
Assistant coaching. And I was stunned at that point, given the arc of the game. I assumed that Pittsburgh was going to win because
win.
They had
maybe cover.
And then when Roethlisberger throws the scrambling 50-yarder to Antonio Brown, who he's so good. He catches it like 2 inches off the ground.
So
touchdown.
Back half of the ball.
You feel like, okay, now they're probably going to win.
And they don't.
And then the Jaguars and come down right down the field. Score easily. I mean, the Jags deserve a ton of credit in that there was a bunch of times in the second half where you would assume, especially the fourth quarter, that a fold was coming, that they were going to fold.
Bortles, who is attacked by random defensive players from teams that don't even play him, they say he stinks. I've never heard anything like this about a starting quarterback in the league. Completed only 14 passes, 214 yards. And by the way, every time he runs, he gets a first down. I'm not saying he's any good, but it's hard for me to look at him and say he was bad.
He was good. He was bad until the fourth quarter, and he was great in the fourth quarter. So they won.
I don't understand. I mean, I don't mean to take anything away from the Jags. They had a great season. They have tremendous defense. Jalen Ramsey, by the way, another great quote. Yep. I don't know if you saw this. But I don't understand why they are so difficult to defend. I mean, you know what they're going to try to do, especially if you're Pittsburgh after what they did to Pittsburgh in week 5 when they came in and just ran it
down
their throats.
Hand the ball to Leonard Fournette as their first option.
Right.
And their second and their third option.
Right. And then
and Bortles on the third down is going to run.
It's going to scramble. Right. And then the fifth option would be let him throw the football. Right.
Which they don't want to do. Howard Fineman got this right. On Friday, he wrote me a detailed text as to why Pittsburgh was going to lose that game. Yesterday at 28-21, I said, whoa, maybe not. And he goes, yeah. And they did. I mean, and he was 100% right. Now Jacksonville goes to New England, where we would think they'd have no chance at all.
Correct.
Except they have a good front four that pressured Ben. And if there's one thing Tom Brady hates, It's that push up the middle and right then at trash him. At his feet.
Yes, yep. Right at him.
And,
right
and that, at him. That's been the formula for the teams that have the few teams that have beaten him in the playoffs in recent years. So,
but look at the difference.
I mean, we would be fools to say, please. We would be total fools to look at that and say there's no way they can go in.
I mean,
and
when the Titans scored
7-0.
And it was 7-0, was there a thought in your mind?
No.
Right. But, oh, well, Patriots might be in trouble.
Well, yes, because of Tony Romo, because he was selling it.
He was
Tony
selling
Romo
it.
I'm telling you,
this is going to be a good game. Yes. It's all about matchups.
And I like Tony Romo. So
you're right.
So
I just never bet. Belichick's evil genius can – what is the line? Is it like
9-7?
Okay, yeah.
Nine.
Here are your four quarterbacks.
Times.
Here are the last four quarterbacks in a quarterback league. Here are your last four quarterbacks. Tom Brady. Greatest quarterback of all time. Case Keenum, Nick Foles, Blake Bortles.
Not the greatest quarterback of all time.
What is the line now on Patriots to win? On Patriots to win the Super Bowl? I mean, they have to be a bigger favorite today than they were Friday.
What did you think of Philadelphia? I had them winning, and I'm glad that I said so a number of days on TV, because I think they're a good team, even if Nick Foles is just eh.
Well, they are, again, a 3.5-point dog to Minnesota.
I understand.
That's at Minnesota, right?
No.
That's right. They're the number one seed.
Yeah.
It's at Philly.
He was 23 for 30. I mean, it's hard to argue. Foles.
He looked scared. He looked scared the first half of the first quarter.
He was bad.
I mean, that was. It felt too big for him.
Yeah.
But he rounded into form. I don't. You know,
they held Atlanta. Atlanta had looked good. They held Atlanta. Did Atlanta get any one touchdown? Mm-hmm. What'd they get?
Yeah, 10 points.
They look
How about the fact that the Eagles have not allowed a score in the final 2 minutes of any game this year? And by the way, kudos to the Eagles and Doug Peterson, who managed the clock at the end of that game perfectly.
Yes, he did.
And had Atlanta scored, Philadelphia was going to get the ball back with over a minute in a one-score game, in a field goal game, ostensibly, even with a two-point conversion. They'd been down three. And I've railed to you about Jay Gruden's clock management. That is a game where if the Redskins are playing that game, that fourth down play that Atlanta run is being run with 10 seconds left.
11
seconds
to go.
Speaking of clock management or just end of game, and I don't know how much flack Tomlin got for this, why did they onside kick it?
He wanted the ball back.
But there was 2 minutes left, and they had two timeouts.
Yeah. He said, I wanted
the ball
back.
I mean, now the guy, granted, did the worst onside kick ever.
I think if it goes 10 yards, that's less of an issue.
Yeah,
I mean, I think you got to kick the kick far enough that they're not in field goal range when they fall on it.
I just feel like the Jacksonville offense was pretty good yesterday. It just to me, it's like you just kick it all the way down. Blake Bortles gets it to 25. Now he had been good.
Did you think? Let me go back to the Philadelphia game. When Ryan has the ball on that fourth down, do you think that that's gonna? He's looking for Jones.
Well, I figured he would go to Jones. Yeah. I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah. He would fall
so
down.
I was watching Julio Jones and I saw him slip, and I thought, oh, this is going to be problematic. And it was sort of I had no rooting interest, if any. Maybe maybe my allegiance to the Redskins had me rooting for the Falcons a little bit, but. That it was a shame to see, like, even had he been able to get it, he didn't come down. It was just a busted play from the start.
He jumps too soon anyway to catch it. But even if he had caught it, it looked like he was going to land out of bounds.
He landed out of bounds.
I thought three of the games were great.
They were.
I did. I mean, I thought the NFL delivered.
And honestly,
I thought the NFL delivered.
The Patriots, I just think watching sustained excellence, there's value in that. I mean, it was, you know, that was not a, to me, like a totally boring game in that they're just
if Jacksonville
excellent.
Were to beat New England in New England in the AFC Championship game, would it be the biggest upset you've ever witnessed in a big game? Can you think?
I'm trying to remember how big of an upset the New England over the Rams.
That was a huge one.
I'm trying to remember how big of an upset the Giants over New England,
I think perfect. Giants over New England was bigger.
When they were perfect.
And the way that it happened.
But it would be shocking. But the way that Jacksonville can run the ball. Remember how bad New England's defense looked.
Was, but not now.
Although Fournette, I'm interested to see how Fournette recovers because he hurt his ankle.
I thought he was
much better.
I thought he was out of the game.
In the first half than the second half.
He was out of the game.
So,
all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Wilbon will join us, and Wilbon will have, I'm sure, some choice words about the football because he watched every second of it, as did I. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a ZipRecruiter ad. A fresh new year has begun. If you're setting new goals for your business, it's extremely difficult to reach them without the right people on your team. And ZipRecruiter has transformed how you go about finding them. In need of great talent for your business but short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools. You need smarter tools. Do you know where to post your job to get the best candidate? Well, ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. ZipRecruiter then actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply. They even review every application to identify the top candidates so you never miss a great match. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And here's the bonus for listening to this high-quality podcast. You can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time, and you're trying it for free. If you need people, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Seth Boyack. He fronts an indie rock band out of Phoenix called New Chums. This is a song called Do the Right Thing, which is a movie of some consequence.
Awesome movie. Spike Lee.
Yeah. His first great movie. Maybe his only great movie, actually. But his great movie. Do the Right Thing is a great movie.
Love and Hate.
Michael Wilbon joins us now. We play things out of Phoenix because Wilbon has a house in Arizona. But he's in Chicago now waiting to come home. And I told this story at the beginning of the show, and I will tell it again right now, that I am watching the Minnesota game. Everybody's watching the Minnesota game. And I sit on the couch on the play at the end of the game, last play of the game, and I actually go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I call Wilbon, and I get Wilbon on the phone who is saying, oh, my God. And I say to Wilbon, that's the worst play I've ever seen a safety make in my entire life. And you say, yes, right? It's the worst play you've ever seen. It's the worst.
Probably. I don't have the recall I once did on some of these things. But it's certainly a plays of consequence, Tony. A plays of consequence.
Yeah.
He's just like, what is this kid doing? What is he doing? And even after he stood there and apparently stood at his locker, and he's a 21-year-old kid, he's young. Even as he stands there and explains it, you're not really listening to the answer. You're just screaming at him, what were you thinking?
What are you thinking?
Doing?
What do? You keep the guy in bounds. You wait for him to make the catch. You push him down. Game over. What are you
That's
doing?
Right.
What
That's
are you
right.
doing? I have people who are Minnesota Vikings fans. I got a text from a guy, you know him, Joe Paulson, who works with President
yeah.
Obama.
Yep.
He says
sure.
the greatest single athletic moment of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a Minnesota fan. He says, I'm going to go to Philadelphia now. I mean, Mike, that game, it cannot be lost if you're New Orleans. It cannot be lost. You've won the game.
Well, Tony, but I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Immaculate Reception. So this is not one of a kind. It isn't. It's few and far between. What was the Immaculate Reception, 1970?
I remember 71? That, too, but that wasn't a play like this. That was just a sort of weird bounce. That wasn't a misplay. You know what I mean?
It might have been. I mean, there's not enough film of that to even know what it was. We don't know. I mean, it shows you what dark ages there were. You didn't have 9-19 video angles of it. There have been some plays. There have been some plays. I'm reluctant to say ever. But just, I mean, for right now, it's breathtaking what happened to them. And I'm not a New Orleans guy. I love Drew Brees. You know, I watched Sean Payton. Sean Payton and Drew Brees had completely different ways to react to it. And I'm not a fan of Zimmer and the way he treats his quarterback and basically says he has a horseshoe up his butt.
Yeah.
And he won't give him any credit for anything. You know, I just what a set of circumstances. The set of circumstances were and are remarkable.
The games yesterday, I'm just going to focus on the Jacksonville game and the Minnesota game. you have Ben Roethlisberger throws for 469 yards and five touchdowns, three of which I believe come on fourth down plays. Three of which come on plays that if you don't, you're looking for a first down and suddenly it's a touchdown, and he loses. Drew Brees in the second half, and Drew Brees was bad in the first half. Drew Brees in the second half goes 17 to 22 for three touchdowns, and they don't win, Mike. They don't win.
The one I have a bigger problem with, I don't have a problem with the Saints losing in Minneapolis to a team with a better record than them and is as good as they are. The Pittsburgh Steelers were an embarrassment.
Oh,
their franchise ought to be embarrassed today. As proud as it is, as victorious as it is in its modern history. So since 1970, we're talking nearly 50 years of the Steelers being great. Seven Super Bowls. I believe it's seven. Maybe it's six. They should be embarrassed. I mean, they laid down like dogs on defense. They were dogs. Everybody talks about how bad Blake Bortles is. Okay. Then how did they put up 45?
45.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are an embarrassment. They are. And all I'm going to do is attack them today on PTI. These other things are nice. But there's only one thing. Okay, you get a fluke play, a crazy play. One guy makes an egregious mistake. Okay, it happens in sports.
Yes.
We've seen it. From Fred Brown throwing the ball to North Carolina to the immaculate reception. You these things happen in sports. Bill Buckner, Bartman. These things happen.
That ending was crazy. But no one would look at that outcome and say, well, that's insane.
That's right.
They wouldn't know.
But if I had told you.
Steelers were dogs.
And if I had told you before the game, Wilbon, that they were going to lose, you're going to say, okay, well, maybe it's a 22-19 mm-hmm. situation.
Yes, it's a close game.
Yeah, but 45?
Game.
That team.
45 points.
There's another thing that occurred to me in that, and I know that Roethlisberger hit three touchdowns on fourth down. But when they needed to make 1 yard, instead of using a 6'6" quarterback who falls down for a yard, they turn backwards, Mike, and hand the ball off. And time after time, they don't make it. Who calls these plays?
Metrics, advanced analytics people. They do. And this is one of the problems, Tony, for those. And I don't know what the Steelers' breakdown is here. I don't know how much they rely on it versus some other franchises, and this is worldwide in all sports now. I mean, there were a couple of times the Vikings did the same thing. The Vikings couldn't pick up a first down. I mean, they shouldn't have been in that predicament. They should have had a field goal try earlier. I don't mean in the sequence. Obviously, they only had 26 seconds left when they got the ball the last time. But what are these coaches doing? They're all geniuses. They're all geniuses. Just play football.
Tom Brady always carries the ball on fourth and one.
They sneak the ball.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you know that.
Yep.
Because he always gets it.
Because you can't stop it. That's right. And you can't stop Ben Roethlisberger over the last 15 years when he does it either. So the Pittsburgh Steelers got what they deserved. I'm a guy who sort of roots for the Steelers. Pittsburgh and Chicago have their similarities. And I never root against the Steelers. I just don't. And I wasn't rooting against them yesterday. Because I had said, like you had said, there's no way Jacksonville should win this game.
No way.
Except we got to Friday and thought, will Hubris get the better of them? Yeah. They were dogs. They were dogs, Tony. You don't even use that word to describe the likes of the Celtics and the Yankees and the Steelers. I mean, they may lose. But they're not dogs. That's what the Steelers were yesterday defensively. 45 at home to Blake Bortles.
Who was all right.
How can they stand that? How can that franchise stand what happened to them yesterday?
I would imagine. Well, I shouldn't say this. I said I was going to say I would imagine that they'd say to Todd Haley, you're done as the offensive coordinator. But
no,
Todd Haley
scored 42.
Yeah, they scored 42.
It was his fault.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Tomlin, who and Wilbon, I would put myself firmly in your camp. I mean, I tend to root for the Steelers. I like them. I'm a fan of Mike Tomlin too. So I don't this criticism doesn't come with any axe to grind. But he seemed completely incapable of any introspection whatsoever, based on what I saw and read, where he basically said, and I'm definitely paraphrasing, but he essentially said, our players couldn't get it done today. I mean, he put it squarely at the feet of his team and said, they beat us in every moment. They didn't execute. I mean, that may be true, But isn't there some responsibility, especially a defensive guy like Tomlin?
Accountability that has to be taken by the coach.
Yeah, now maybe he doesn't want to do that publicly. I don't know. But
so this is an interesting thing because I'm watching that game, and Jacksonville scores. I actually was here in chatter, and Jacksonville scored, and I didn't even see it because it happened so quickly. And I thought, okay, well, this is going to be what happened yesterday where Tennessee scored, and that was it. But it wasn't it. It was 14-0 and 21-0 and 21-7 and 28-7.
Every time the Steelers scored and got within one touchdown, you're like, okay, here's the time where they're going to stop them, and they're going to get the ball back, and they're going to tie the game, and the game's going to be over.
28-7.
No, they were dogs. They were dogs. Soup to nuts.
28-7, the Steelers block a punt, start a drive in Jacksonville territory, and that's when I thought, okay, here they go.
They got nothing out of it.
That's right, G.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So now,
So Leonard Fournette, I researched this yesterday and pointed out, rushed for more touchdowns, or let me put it this way, because they had the same amount as Le'Veon Bell. Nobody rushed for more touchdowns at Heinz Field this year than Leonard Fournette.
And the other team had eight games there.
Was it five?
Nine, including
the playoff.
Yep. Yeah, he had four.
All right, so Mike, now you have a situation, and I don't know, are we chastened by this? Are we made wise by this? Because neither of us think that Jacksonville can possibly go into Pittsburgh and win. And now Jacksonville, so what are you looking at?
I'm going to be an idiot. I do think this, Tony. The teams that give New England problems traditionally are teams that will hit you in the mouth.
And Jacksonville
Giants,
will. Yes.
The Giants and the Ravens. And Jacksonville will do that.
That's right.
So my problem is on the other side of the ball. I don't believe that suddenly yesterday they caught fire and they're the 49ers and Joe Montana. I don't believe that. I believe the Pittsburgh Steelers were regrettable dogs.
Okay, so you don't think... Because I think the least has any chance against
New England.
I agree with you. I think the least coverable human being in the world is Rob Gronkowski. I just don't think you can cover him, which is what happened.
I don't even think any of that matters. I think that the New England is superior in always. Look, you know, the one thing I thought was that Pittsburgh, despite all of its talk, was going to get their heads handed to them in Foxborough this Sunday anyway. So now it's just the other team.
Okay.
I just think that the Patriots, you know, it's like coming into the season after Spygate and then after Ballgate. They get angry at these things, even if they're guilty as hell of whatever is being charged. They get angry and they take it out on the opponent, no matter who the opponent is, except the Giants and the Ravens. And they've beaten the Ravens sometimes, but they're not able to exert their will on the Giants and the Ravens. And those are teams that no amount of Tom Brady whining seem to thwart. You know, they're going to hit you in the mouth. And they say, Tom, you can whine, you can raise your hands, you can, you know, cry to Giselle, you can do whatever you want. We're going to hit you in the mouth until this thing's over.
So
do I think the Jacksonville
on that note,
that team? No, I don't.
On that note, the author of those two Super Bowl wins for the Giants is now in Jacksonville, Tom Coughlin. I mean, and it is not a coincidence that they are a much better team this year
in the first year.
I'll go to the other side. Now you have an NFC championship game, and it's outdoors, which probably hurts Minnesota because they've played indoors for so long. It's an outdoor situation, and the two starting quarterbacks are Case Keenum and Nick Foles. What do you make? It's amazing. And by the way, they earned their way in.
Yes,
they did.
I'm sort of glad it is. It thwarts all the quarterback, all the people. You know, it thwarts just all the talk about it. Look, we know it's a quarterback league. This game is a one-off. It doesn't change that. I just like the fact that people can be befuddled by it all week.
I guarantee you that Zimmer will say something to indicate that maybe Bradford will start the game.
Yes, he will, because
he hates Keenum.
Right.
He hates the guy.
I mean, if I was Case Keenum, if I got to the Super Bowl, I would spend the entire week saying, just giving a middle finger to Mike Zimmer. Say, what are you going to do to me?
Disrespect
me more. You know when people say they don't respect me? Case Keenum actually has the case that his own coach would like to replace him this week. Look, Tony, I started this season railing against the NFL for product reasons. And one of the big reasons that I have told you every week is that the coaching is awful compared to what it's been over the previous 70 years. It's just, there's Bill Belichick, and there's a few guys And then there's, I don't know, a lot of nonsense. And so Mike Zimmer is within a game of the Super Bowl, and he's just, it's just nonsensical on this issue of his quarterback.
Did you see
he won't even acknowledge that the kid has played well. I mean, seriously.
Amazing.
If I was Mike Zimmer's father, I mean, if I was Case Keenum's father,
I would show
up at the facility.
I'd hit him.
I would show up at the facility with some brass knuckles, and I would punch Mike Zimmer's lights out.
Good. I'll see you later. That's a good way to end. I'll talk to you later. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We will come back with news. Nigel will do the news. When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. We all have Harry's razors here. We all use them. We're all happy with them. Here is the copy that says it's a thought starter. How does Harry's tie into your New Year's resolution? Be smarter with your personal finances. Harry's can save you about $100 a year. Take better physical care of yourself. Harry's products have won countless grooming awards, and they'll keep you looking and feeling great. I think that's good. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy, still claiming to be two ordinary guys who are fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's stripped out the unnecessary features and the unnecessary cost to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave comes down to good blades. Because Harry's owns the factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. And all products are backed by a 100% guarantee. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they will give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at Harry's, HARRYS.com/TonyK. All you have to do is pay for shipping. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. It's a $13 value for free. When you sign up, just cover shipping. It includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to HARRYS.com/TonyK right now. That's HARRYS.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The name of the artist, it's not, I wouldn't have gone this way. I wouldn't call myself Death List. Death List.
Although you have one.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like the name of your...
Yeah, it sounds like, the name sounds of like something you would have in a drawer.
Is Wanted. Death List doing Wanted.
I believe out of Oregon. Love these guys.
Michael, if people want to send their music however they are named, how do they do it?
Yeah, please send us your music at jingles@tonycornersofshow.com, where Tony will critique your band's name on air.
I will do that. And by the way, we're selling Chatter t-shirts. They're blue shirts with a white logo, and we're selling them for $12.
$12 American. Do you have that extra small I asked for?
We do not have that. No.
What? Who's number one on your death list?
There's no one. There's a tie among many.
Thousand-way tie.
There's a tie among many, but when we remodel the men's bathroom downstairs, somebody who might have a poster in it might be high up on that list. Nigel, you have news for us. Can I just let me thank Tamara?
Yes.
Tamara Graham for sending us a lovely holiday card.
Oh, thank you, Tamara.
And all that. And
is there any money in it?
No money. This is from Joe Farrell. Not that Joe Farrell. But
another Joe Farrell, not the one from
Who's the head coach at varsity girls soccer at Meadowbrook High School. And he writes, last week I was listening to a podcast recorded prior to your holiday break, as I am a traditionalist and I still listen to the podcast on a delay. I listened as you read a letter from a collegiate women's soccer program who declared themselves the official soccer team of the Tony Kornheiser Show. As the head coach of the girls soccer team at Meadowbrook High School, located just outside of Richmond, Virginia, I thought to myself, I know we can become the official high school soccer team of the podcast if only we send some swag. And he sent us four lovely scarves.
Wow. Ooh, look at those.
I'm going to wear
scarves. Those are great.
Included in this letter are 4 of our scarves we use to promote our program throughout our local area for you, Nigel. He has to like us. He's British after all. So Lizza, a proclaimed Tottenham Spurs fan, and of course, Baby Bootsy. And so that's really nice. The girls on the team are excited to send you these gifts, though none of them know who you are, and only refer to you as the old man coach listens to on the bus before games. I hope you have a wonderful year. I gave one of these out yesterday to a young woman who looked very, very cold as she sat alone at a booth at Chatter.
Oh.
And I gave her this. And I gave one other out early. So we have 2. And Chris, you can have one. And Nigel, you can have one.
Thank you.
Nigel,
Baby
thanks
Bootsy's for... Baby Bootsy's a little small for these.
Nigel,
thank you for speaking for my son.
Thanks for throwing
Would
the update
like
to
Baby
me.
Would you like Baby Bootsy to have one of these?
Yeah, he could wear that.
No, he's.
It'd be like a shawl.
He's fine, but he'll remember this slight.
By the way, as you mentioned a T-shirt,
he's a baby.
He's got a long memory. He's got a memory like an elephant.
We've got these T-shirts for sale. Daniel, up here, obviously somebody spurred at the ball.
He's hocking them.
I've got to have one of those.
Yeah,
we're moving product right now.
No, actually, there was a spill behind the bar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
someone vomited.
$12 a shirt. That's pretty good. Let's do the news.
Yes, I'd like to throw it over to Chris Cilicia.
Yes, thank you, Nigel. I appreciate it. Tone, I know you're interested in this because we're on soccer. I want to give you a quick soccer update.
Okay. Yeah,
Liverpool broke Man City's 30-game Premier League win streak this weekend, winning 4-3. Back to you, Nigel.
You'll never walk alone.
You will never walk alone.
Let me say, Liverpool. A game that was 1-1 in the 60th minute.
That's right.
When it was on at the Braun household, and then I went away to do some stuff and came back, and a score-a-thon broke out.
Pitch. Cue up for the lift.
Yeah. There you go.
I can't.
Mr. Tony, this newscast is brought to you by the D.C. Metro, reporting fewer fires in 2018. And on that note, there was a derailment.
But not a fire.
Yes, today. But no fire. Today. No fire. Yes, derailment. Carrying 60 passengers, I can somewhat joke about this because no injuries have been reported.
Because you're a grim reaper.
I am a terrible human being. emergency personnel on the scene, as they say, no smoke or fire.
So this was Red Line about 6:40 this morning. What, Farragut North?
Farragut North Station.
Yeah, very near PTI.
Holiday, so it's not... They're right. Not jam-packed.
I would suggest to people, by the time you hear this, but they'll probably still will.
Yeah, and you still want the purple line. You people want the purple line. People are stupid.
And I know I was getting a lot of blame for this over the weekend, but I just want to point out I was not in Hawaii. Nor do I.
What is this?
Okay, so folks,
what is
at 8 a.m. Local time in Hawaii, got a text message. And I don't know.
Good morning.
I don't know if you're on this system. I've signed up for alerts from
emergency
the DC government.
Alert.
No.
Yeah, which in the event of an attack, you think, I'll get something like this.
I
but
don't want
most of the time, it's there's a water outage or something like this. This is the message.
Metro derailment.
This is the message that went out at 8:07. On Saturday morning in Hawaii. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. And then a more detailed message scrolled across television screens that said, if you're indoors, stay indoors. If you're outdoors, seek immediate shelter in a building. Remain indoors, well away from windows. If you're driving, pull safely to the side of the road and seek shelter in a building.
Yes.
Duck and cover.
Wish they had the duck.
Duck and cover. Get away from the windows. Mm-hmm. Take cover and await further instructions.
That duck is always right.
So apparently what happened was, when everything was...
did that alarm folks?
People were a little bit upset. Took 38 minutes for an official retraction to come out.
The explanation is the best, though. How it happened.
Wait. Where were these missiles coming from?
They didn't say.
Yeah.
Would it matter? Would that be your first question?
I mean, everybody
assumed... How did these missiles show up on their... maps.
So, well, it didn't. That's
didn't.
A thing.
So it didn't.
It didn't show up
on
any screens.
It was a shift change.
Yes.
And somehow that there's not more checks on this.
Well,
someone pushed a button accidentally.
Yes. What? There's.
That's
what?
How
they
it happened.
They instituted with everything that's ramped up with North Korea last fall. They said, we've got to start testing the system a little bit more. So, at the start of everyone's shift, you had to do a test missile alert.
Of course.
And there's a drop-down menu on the screen. The options are test missile alert and missile alert.
It's just
and
the two.
When this unknown
that's
person...
That's all there are is
yeah,
two.
Just the two.
Yeah, just the two. So you got a 50-50
chance.
Fat-fingered
it.
Yeah. Nuclear war, yes,
let
no.
Let me say, as someone who's been operating a computer mouse with my left hand for a couple weeks...
Could happen. Happens. Right, it does happen.
So little drop-down window.
They selected missile alert. That's when all the warnings went out.
How is there not more checks built into that system?
It would seem
it's just a drop-down menu.
Like, we're about to scare the crap out of everyone. Are you sure? Right.
When you go to restart your computer, it asks you like five times if you want to do
sure?
it.
Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure you want to panic
everybody?
Do you
really want to delete this email?
So now there's going to be a system in place.
Karen, by the way, grabbing a ton of shirts. Shirts are moving.
Well, look at that.
That's good.
Yeah. You will no longer be able to do this by yourself. It'll have to be two people in the same
room. Reassigned the person who did it, right? I heard that today.
Yes, reassigned.
Playing safety for the Saints.
Nigel, we need to talk to you after the
I thought you said lunch, not lunch.
No, it's just a reassignment. You're not being fired.
Yes. I did like it. There was some unnamed official.
I'm
on the
coughing
press
a lot.
I know. Yeah,
you're to be
going,
under the weather.
Yeah. Let's be honest, you're going downhill.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I am, because I kept talking.
Yeah.
Like the fact that one of the Hawaiian officials, they were like, well, whose fault is it? And he said, it's my department, so it's my fault. just stepped on my grenade. But I can only imagine behind closed doors, he's like, one of you is no longer going to be working
here
anymore.
That's just like our president. He takes the blame when it's on him.
He said it was a local state test.
The best.
Something like that. So, yeah.
Well, look, in truth, people over the weekend were blaming him somehow.
Not his fault.
It's nothing to do with him. It was a dude who
probably hasn't
button.
Defunded that department.
Yes.
Everything's fine.
Yes, exactly.
If I could quote myself.
Weren't there videos of people literally dropping their children down manholes?
Well, I haven't seen that.
Well, people running out of restaurants screaming. Like, yes.
Let me ask you
this.
Yeah,
I saw like Godzilla movie type scenes of people running through the streets.
If you get that message, I mean, are you going over to the... What's your plan?
You've play got, it cool. My usual.
He's got a bunker at the club.
Oh, you mean tone.
I go into my house.
Yeah, the rich people at the club have a bunker.
I don't know what to do.
Do you start pouring Johnny Walker Blue and saying
no? No, I mean, I don't honestly know what to do.
You'd probably be relaxed like usual in those situations.
I don't think so, but I don't know what I would do.
You'd call Wilbon.
Yeah, I would.
38 minutes seems like
step
a long
one,
time.
Get a new pair of underpants.
Because apparently they didn't have the authority to override it, so it was through other government system.
What do you mean they didn't have the authority to override?
It had to go through FEMA, and so they had to work with FEMA, and it was just...
FEMA, doing a great job, Brownie.
Heck of a job, Brownie.
Heck of a job, Brownie. Speaking of a heck of a job, how about those U.S. women in the Australian Open?
How'd they do?
On the first day of competition, 0 for 7. That's right. 7 U.S. women out. Another one has lost this morning. Finally, Nicole Gibbs is the first American woman
to win.
Watch Nicole
Gibbs.
Yeah.
That's Joe Gibbs'
well,
daughter.
Well, yes, yeah. She credited Richie for some great in-game adjustments, was able to win that match. But yes, 8 women now.
Including
out.
Serena Williams.
Serena Williams. Yeah, Belinda
Sloane
Mitchell.
Stevens. Yeah. And Coco Vandeweghe.
Wait, yeah. Serena Williams or Venus?
Venus Williams. Venus. I'm sorry. Venus, yeah. Venus Williams. Serena's not playing.
No.
Yes.
It's an asshole country. Get out of there.
That's Australia. Come on now. Mr. Tony.
Bunch of criminals.
Just kidding, Adnan.
Mr. Tony.
Is he from Australia?
He's from Bosnia, but he lives in Australia, yeah. Gold Coaster, I think.
We've got a lot of fans in Australia. We love Australia.
Okay.
And remember somebody sent us that wonderful licorice?
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
Delicious.
And if anybody out there is listening, we wouldn't mind.
What was that called? I forget. It was great.
It was fantastic. I'll look that up for us later. Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator for New England Patriots, appears as if he's been going to go to the Detroit Lions to be the next head
distraction?
Coach.
Distraction?
Yes, to some degree, sure.
Mm. Yep. Well, it appears as if McDaniels, now they're saying he might go to the Colts.
Yeah.
And there's another coordinator whose name...
Shermer, I think they've got... The offensive coordinator for the Vikings, they're saying.
Who is going to get the Giants job? I mean, you would think that's an appeal. It's not an appeal.
I think they were talking Shermer for that.
Shermer.
One.
Well, yeah.
Linebackers coach for the Patriots, Brian Flores, also a finalist for the Cardinals.
Do you know that as great a coach as Belichick is, when his assistants become head coaches, they don't do that well?
Right.
That's right.
Well, wasn't Josh McDaniel an assistant before and then he went to Denver and failed and came back, right? What's his
Charlie
name?
Weiss Charlie and Weiss and Romeo Crennel didn't do that well.
Right.
Mangini didn't do that well.
Might just be intentional. Weak in the field.
Of course, Belichick didn't do that well either. His first go around. Right. So.
And who's the Schiano? There's a rumor out there that if Patricia leaves, that Belichick, who has ties to Schiano, might bring him over.
Because
I think the Buckeyes have hired a co-defensive coordinator. So it seemed like as if they're preparing for Schiano to maybe move on. Because co-defensive coordinator doesn't seem...
Because he ought to be able to win a multi-million dollar lawsuit.
Yes, with Tennessee.
He ought to be able to win that.
Yes.
Because he was slandered. He actually was.
And
no evidence he knew none. Anything. Just a repeat. None.
Real damage.
The Arizona Wildcats have hired Kevin Sumlin as their new football coach. He was 51-26 in 6 seasons at Texas A&M.
He was fired stupidly, I felt. But this is a great opening because they fired Rich Rodriguez on sexual assault grounds.
Yeah,
right?
Sexual... inappropriate sexual
The
behavior.
Only thing I'll say with Sumlin...
The old walking around naked. So Liz's move? The old walking around naked?
Oh, apparently you can't do that anymore. The only thing I'll say with Sumlin, because my relatives are all Aggies, is he's a very good recruiter, less well in the games, and did far less well when Johnny Manziel left. They did not do nearly... And Manziel was not his recruit. So that was the knock on Sumlin.
Right. What else?
And finally, Mr. Tony.
You can win with Heisman caliber talent.
Right. I know that you like to book flights on Pegasus Airlines.
Mm. Often.
Yes.
Well, often.
Fortunately, when you're going in and out of Turkey.
Yes, fortunately, you are not on the flight from Ankara to Trabzon with the Pegasus Airlines.
Come on.
Trabzon. I all love going there.
It's like from Lord of the Flies.
It's beautiful there.
Lord of the Rings.
Trabzon in January.
Pegasus Airlines Boeing 737 landed all right, but then had a little bit of a problem with the brakes. And I think we've all seen the photos of this. Skidded off the runway.
It's hanging over the sea.
Yes, hanging on a cliff.
Terrifying.
Yes, hanging on the edge of the Black Sea. Fortunately, yeah. There were no injuries reported.
If you have not seen the images, Google them. And you want the overhead aerial image of it.
Terrifying.
Yeah, there you
terrifying.
Go.
All planes are terrifying, that more than most.
It's 50 or 100 feet from the ocean. It's fine.
All right. Of course,
I would point out in defense of flying, that happened on the ground, not in the air.
Any safe landing is a good landing, right?
All right, let's get out of here. We have old guy when we return.
That's right.
I was going to talk, but I can't. So I don't know what to do. We may bring some people up from the audience.
Oh, that'd be great. That sounds like good radio.
People really react well when I talk more. So
yeah.
Oh, yes.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old guy radio for the day. Any particular reason why we've done this tune?
This song was released day in 1965. Yeah, The Who. This is the first
53
single.
53 years.
Yes, I can't explain.
Only two left. Two of the original four.
Roger and Pete, right? Yes. In terms of critical commentary, basically, Townsend, this is a very heavily Kinks-influenced song. He didn't completely rip it off, but obviously it sounds a lot. There's similarities to All Day and All Night.
Yep.
And he's just like, I'm sorry, it's just derivative of what that was. But I locked myself in a room, listened to a bunch of different music, and I came out, and this is the song I came up with.
And then I was taking notes on how the Kinks did what they did.
There's also Marcus Williams' response to the many reporters who, I thought, from what I saw, handled himself pretty well. Who basically said,
it's the worst play ever.
Thought I was going to get there early.
It's the worst play ever.
It's impossibly bad. I mean,
he misses him by 3 feet. It's
one
not
of the
even
things,
close.
When
at
I was
least
talking,
his eyes were shut.
When I was talking to Mike.
Down.
Good call.
Because I was at, and everybody knows this, I was at and covering and writing columns with the Flutie play. And the Flutie play, when he hits Gerard Phelan, you're supposed to knock it down. These are Hail Mary plays. We've all seen Hail Mary plays that succeed because someone doesn't knock the play down.
Right.
Oh, okay, but that's a jump ball situation.
That's right.
This is completely different. You say to the free safety, no matter what happens, you cannot let anybody behind you.
Yes.
And then he dives.
It's
the worst play I've ever seen.
One play before, they had shown the safeties and corners basically playing,
giving away the middle
40
of the field.
Yards and on the sideline.
Right.
So
that's
it's
where
not
you should
let him
should
go
be.
Out of bounds.
Give them the middle of the field because there will not be it. They have no timeouts. That play
game's
goes
over.
At 10 seconds. There cannot be enough time to get off a play.
They didn't even try to run the hook and ladder. Okay, we're going to throw it to him. He's going to lateral it to a fast guy. I mean, they were just trying to get it
out of bounds.
Right.
And they said they've run that play. It's like one of those plays they run all the time.
Yeah.
That receiver, the seven, I guess they call him the Diggs, that guy never catches the ball. Like it's never worked out that way, even in practice.
Wasn't a particularly I shouldn't say it was an impressive play, but because even if he caught it and got pushed out of bounds, theoretically they're kicking a field goal. But that whole drive was just creative. It didn't really inspire any confidence.
I'm telling you, if you Chuck Todd, you're going insane.
Yeah,
you're going insane. You were going to be 4-0. You're going to get to 500.
3-1's pretty good.
3-1 is pretty good.
Pulling
still got a shot, right? If he wins the next, he's got three more games.
Got to win them all. Got to win them all.
He can do it.
Yeah, got to win out. So I spent a lot of time here in Chatter over the weekend because now one of my tasks is to come here on weekends and basically be an annoyance to
press
people
the flesh.
Who are sitting down.
Yeah,
sure. Spin the sign.
So I get behind the bar, and I start to schmooze people, and I explain that I'm not. When I go into the dining room area, I go, "Excuse me, I'm not a pervert. I'm one of the owners."
How you is don't your, open with that line.
That's a good line.
How's your lunch?
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm not a pervert. How are your eggs?
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't want anybody
I'm
to think.
I'm not a pervert. I'm one of the owners.
Yeah,
it's
better,
two of them.
It's better than I am a pervert. How are you?
So, because I'm interrupting people at all times, and I'm behind the bar, and I go up to people and I say, you know, what can I get you? Bearing in mind that I actually can't get you anything
because right.
I
don't know how to do it. Factory?
So yeah. I will give it to a, I will give your order to a bartender, and after a while, I become pretty much of a nuisance.
Sure.
And by a while, I mean 10 to 15 seconds.
Are you just hovering?
So yeah. As you're people annoying eat? Staff yeah. and the patrons.
So as yeah. people eat, you're watching them fork it in.
No, I'm just sort of wandering and trying to do that thing. I've watched over the years. Whoa, something just crashed down.
Just put that down.
I've
anywhere.
Watched Tommy Giacomo for so many years. And Tommy, when he leaves the front of the palm, goes into the back and
he
just
sits
wanders.
At your table.
Yeah, just wanders. So I...
Can I give you a suggestion?
I was very bad at it, and one couple walked out.
What?
Because of you?
Know, yeah, I didn't tell anybody.
Did you go around to tables, and after they took a bite, you said, did you like that? And then after the next bite, how about that bite? Yeah.
No, I just say, how's the food? Is the food good? And most of the time, so I had this terribly scary moment. So Gary and I are at the bar yesterday. Gary was persuaded to come in here yesterday. We end up talking to this guy who's an opera singer.
Oh.
He's an opera singer. He's a very pleasant guy, and we chatted for a long period of time. But at one point, a woman comes up to me. She's dressed. She's ready to leave now. She's going to leave the restaurant.
Where are you going? Why are you leaving so soon?
No, she pulls on my sleeve, and I go, yeah. She says, I just want to tell you something. I ordered a steak, and she says it, and it's sort of in a combative way. I ordered a steak rare. Now, in that moment of time, Gary seizes up. He panics because he knows, and he turns away.
Not good in pressure
situations. Gary's back now has turned away because he knows that this woman is going to tell me that it not only was inedible, it took 50 minutes to arrive, and how dare I even claim that I could own her, you know. And I go, I just look at her, and I go, was everything all right? And she goes, it was great. It was cooked to perfection. It was larger than I imagined it to be. And I said, well, are you taking some home? And she said, I ate all of it. I knocked it down.
Nice.
So that was one of the good moments yesterday, because you always have,
right.
You know, you ask these questions hoping that the answers will be good, but you have this dread in your system that this will go wrong. And nothing went wrong. I mean, People were nice. That made me happy.
In my mind's eye, I don't ever want to come and see this in real life, because the way I imagine it, you're in a tuxedo with your tie undone.
Like Frank. Right.
And you're just walking around the banquettes. That's kind of how I see you. Like working the room.
You know.
Doing like a song. Like every once in a while you're just breaking a song.
No, but I go from room to room and I ask people, you know, about decor and stuff like that. I mean, I'm trying to be
friendly. Do you like this
friendly.
Jacket that I have on?
I'm trying to be friendly. I don't know if that's what you're supposed to do or not, because sometimes people don't.
Well,
really
it's hard
want...
too. You are putting yourself out there. I mean, if you're in a restaurant and someone comes and asks you how your stuff is doing, you're going to answer them honestly. You know, so
yeah, so you know. But I always say I'm one of the owners,
just so you don't appear to be some.
And it, but
random
if something
guy.
Goes wrong, I would
I'm
say
I'm not a pervert.
I'm not a powerful
not
owner, though.
Right.
The socialite is the powerful owner. I'm just another one of the owners. All right, so I watched...
Wait, Tone, quick question.
Yes.
Crowded this weekend? Good crowds?
More crowded Saturday than Sunday, but okay. Yeah, more crowded Saturday
people watching
than
the games?
Yeah, we got to get people in. I mean, that's the whole thing. Get people in.
I would point out that if we do get snow later on the week, there is no better place to go and have food and drink than Chatter.
Well, there's probably a couple of better places,
no,
but
no,
it's a good place.
None.
It's a good place. So I wanted to. So now I'm in that sprint mode of watching movies.
Okay.
I'm watching because I'm going to vote. I have to vote.
It's movie watching weather.
I have to vote by January 19th for SAG-AFTRA Awards.
Coming up.
You have to vote. So today is what, the 16th?
15th.
All right. So
all
I have a bunch of movies. The one movie that I don't, you know, that I'm
Shape
reluctant
of water.
To watch is The Shape of Water because right. again, let us go to the plot line. The plot line is. A mute woman falls in love with a sea creature.
Yeah, fish man. What's
you
the problem?
I don't. To me, that's not as appealing as some other movie. Have you seen it?
No, there's no chance.
They're, right.
And I did listen to
awards.
A podcast about it.
Yeah.
And it was. I mean, they basically said there's a lot of fish on human intercourse.
Touching. What?
Yeah, it's pretty graphic.
What?
Apparently,
fish yes. don't do intercourse.
The shape
they
of...
like spray the.
It's
eggs.
A fish man, not
yeah,
a
like
fish.
Yeah,
he's a fish man.
So this is
Like, there's fish on
so
humans.
Is this not a horror movie? It has to be a horror movie then.
Fantasy, sci-fi, it's kind of, fantasy. Yeah,
how did we? How did they catch the fish man?
I think it's
the last movie where they caught somebody was great. Splash.
Right.
Splash was funny. It's made me laugh. Even now, makes me laugh.
I think it's a cutting social commentary on otherness.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just made that up.
All right, so, well done. So
thank you.
So over the weekend, I got two of the movies that I want to see. I got Mudbound, which people say is very good.
And Hornaday Love.
And I got Lady Bird, which people said is very good.
Yes.
So I'm now going to give a very small review of Lady Bird. Lady Bird's great.
Really?
Lady Bird is great. The star of the movie with the unpronounceable first name, Saoirse. It looks like Saoirse.
Yeah.
And
she's terrific.
And Saoirse is somehow pronounced Saoirse.
Saoirse, I thought.
Well, Nigel's from over there. How do you?
No, he's not from Ireland.
That's the same difference.
Oh, there we go.
This girl, this is a girl, she's Irish.
Yes, she is.
Right? Saoirse Ronan.
Right.
She's Irish. She was in a movie 2 years ago, Brooklyn, that was great. Just great. She was great. Halfway through this movie yesterday, she now is playing a high school girl, a high school senior, a 17-year-old girl in Sacramento, California.
Yep.
You say to yourself, how old? She's got to be 30
takes,
in real
takes
life.
Takes place when? This movie?
2002
in
Sacramento, California. Halfway through the movie, I turn to the two other living things in my house, Carol and Jesse.
Right.
And out of nowhere,
she's
I say...
She's 23, Tony.
She's the greatest actress in the
she's
world.
She's very good.
Wow. In the world.
She's
you
great.
You cannot believe how good she is in this movie. This movie is quiet. The movie is great. I don't want it to be great because my nemesis, Tracy Letts, is in the movie. And he's wonderful in the movie. If he hears this, that's my olive branch to Tracy Letts. and he was also wonderful in The Post. Good actor, along with being a playwright. The movie is just terrific. It's quiet, it's wonderful, and she's great.
Her mother is excellent in it, too.
Laurie Metcalf.
Laurie Metcalf is really good.
You know, I just saw a mother role. I mean, I just saw I, Tonya, which I really, really liked. And Allison Janney plays an abusive, terrible mother to Tonya Harding. And in this one, Laurie Metcalf.
She's great.
Abusive goes a little bit over the line, but this woman, she's tough. She's tough in this movie as a mom. I mean, she's not warm and loving, and their relationship isn't good. And this girl, if you go see it,
Tone, have you seen? Did you see Atonement, the Ian McEwan novel?
She's
the girl,
she's the
little
young,
girl
I
didn't, in
young
Atonement.
Briny.
She's Briny.
You should watch
it's
that.
Excellent.
That's
I mean, it's a great novel, but a good movie.
I mean, she's just
she's also
great.
I believe isn't she in Grand Budapest Hotel? I think she's
I don't
in
know.
That. I think
yeah, she
she's,
was.
I don't
know.
She's the
she
love
was.
Interest in that.
Yeah. I've seen her in these two things. And what makes
she's
it believable.
Great.
Let me tell you what makes it believable that she could be 17. Her hair.
Right.
Her hair has dyed this weird shade of pink. And it's never. She's never made up. What you know, she's never made to look glamorous where you would go, whoa. It's like Jeannie McManus looks at Margot Robbie and says, she can't be Tonya Harding. She can't be because she can't be 16 years old. It's very convincing to me. Very convincing.
You know,
I've seen a lot of movies, and the movies this year have been dominated by great female roles.
That is
great female roles.
Supposedly quasi autobiographical.
Greta Gerwig
grew up in Sacramento, and
This is what I want to say about it, and I'll stop after this. It actually has the ring of truth to it. It does. It is convincing. That this could have happened and could have happened like this.
Both Arch and Anne love that. By the way, Saoirse Ronan also in Fast and Furious, a lot of those movies.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. Now, did you like this more than I, Tonya?
Yeah.
Really?
It's the best I've seen.
Because you loved I, Tonya.
Loved it. This is the best I've seen.
And have you seen Mudbound yet or no?
No. This is what happened to me when I saw Brooklyn. And I went, well, that's the best I've seen. It didn't win.
So do you think this will win Best Picture?
No. Because I don't think people
Shape
think
of Water.
Like I do. I think Getting It On, Mutant a Fish Man. I think that smells like a winner to me.
Smells like something.
Smells like a winner. All right, we'll take a break.
She was born in the Bronx.
Yes, but raised in Ireland.
Moved to Ireland at 3.
Story of Nigel's life.
And raised in Dublin.
I'm going to assume she speaks with an Irish accent naturally.
Yeah, I would think if there she is was none of three on there.
Why are they the best actors?
What, the Irish?
The Brits, the Irish. Why do they do us better than we do us?
When I learned Idris Elba was British, it changed
everything.
We're just
Tom Brady.
We're very
Tom Brady's British?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't know that,
Secret
yeah.
British.
Tom Brady?
Look it up.
I didn't know.
Belichick,
Buddy
another
Ryan
Brit.
Also, yes.
Wow. Uh-huh. Oh, but not Rob and Rex. Not them.
No, they're very American.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Prophet, prophet, in search of profit. Prophet, prophet, where is the profit? I got it, we gotta sell the price closet. Product, product, let's move some product. Prophet, prophet, in search of profit.
A fresh start.
Prophet, prophet, in search of profit.
This is
profit,
hard. Radio. I had a vision in my mind's eye. Big money sponsors are forming a line. The internet is like a force of nature, crushing business models at all of the papers. I own my own content, that won't happen to me. I don't necessarily know what that means.
No,
no I don't.
Jerry Negrelli. Back and as good as ever,
I
Jerry
Negrelli.
That's very good. No,
we have great jingles across the board, but nobody knows what they can do as well as that dude knows.
Yeah,
what he can do.
He's got the form. He's the
stays in his lane.
Perfect.
He's does perfect. His thing. Knocks it out of the
Let me thank Michael Wilbon for coming on the show. Thank today's sponsors,
Love
Harry's Razors and ZipRecruiter. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Dan Reichel, the outreach pastor of the Community Christian Church in Tamarack, Florida. Florida, where my parents
your
had,
old man was,
yeah,
right?
They had condominium. It's pronounced Reichel. Reichel. And he's originally from Ronkonkoma, New York. After years of loyal listening, I finally had my David Aldridge moment. Mm-hmm. I work in Tamarack, Florida, and sure enough, right around the corner is Sands Point, the former home of the assassin of the condo board, my father. I exclaimed to no one in particular, I know that place. I made a point to drive past it on my way home from work, picture and clothes. I took out a $50 bill, straight cash home. He slapped it on the dash of my car, and again, to no one in particular, encouraged all who were within earshot, crank that thing up. I used to do that when my dad never put the air conditioning on. Because he was the cheapest person.
Well, it's not hot in Florida.
You don't
need
air conditioning in Florida.
So I just throw the money down and say, let's go. Let's get it down to about 62. Alex Lau in New York City. When you told Frank Isola to get lost at PTI, did you at least give him $4 for his troubles? I did not. Danny Kalick in Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina. Just saw the movie The Post. Pretty good memory of the paper publishing process. I used to work at The Post in the early 2000s. You once got on an elevator with me and promptly said, don't talk to me. I did not.
I could see that. It has the ring of truth.
Glad to hear if I pay my 2 bits of chatter, I could get a picture, perhaps. Yeah, you can, there's a million people here who got pictures. I didn't say don't talk to me.
Well, it's $12 to
couldn't
get
have said that
picture.
Kevin Stewart in Phoenix. A few years ago, I went to jury duty, and I too saw the woman one of my friends is related to by marriage there. I didn't know at the time, but that was my first Mrs. David Aldridge moment.
How about
I
that?
That's funny. John Stanton in Gainesville, Florida. I enjoy the toy that you have that does the duck and cover warning. I've Googled my finger off, and I cannot find it. Can you give me info so I can get one? No, this
one
actually
of a kind.
This is actually from our embassy in Baghdad. It's not a toy.
Yeah.
It's not like going to Amazon.
Let's buy an AK-47.
And they deliver it the next day.
Yeah.
No. As a matter of fact, today, somebody from the embassy in Kabul gave me a Mr. Dr. Tony name tag with an American flag. And
like
I guess
a patch you would wear
Afghan
on your uniform.
I've repeatedly told you you're huge in Kabul.
Yes. Tom Pace in Lakewood, Ohio. So Trump's personal lawyer allegedly paid porn actress Stormy Daniels?
Yes.
$35,000 to keep silent over an alleged sexual encounter with Trump. Trump could make her a judicial nominee. It would give a great new meaning to Hot Bench.
Ooh.
Hot Bench, my favorite television show.
There you go.
Rick Cummings writes, explore how celestial... Oh, this is going to be a course he wants to give.
folk astronomy. I'm going to actually teach it. And we explore how celestial bodies in our solar system move in relation to each other. Course will include early morning field studies, no lab, no course
text. Did you see the moon this morning?
No, I missed it.
Just a sliver of a crescent. It was gorgeous.
No.
Just as thin as you'd ever see.
I mean, in relation to my house. Yeah. Well, I know it was in the sky, but yeah.
Just to recap, we revolve around the moon, right?
100%.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
From Rob Parker, first time, long time, thank you for the many, many years of providing entertainment that has brought me countless hours of joy, laughter, and knowledge for life. While I haven't converted the women to whom I'm related by marriage, my masculine, and not so masculine offspring are devoted listeners, especially to the mailbag jingles. I've attached a picture of my odometer, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Ooh. However, upon further review, take a closer look at the temperature to the left, 34 degrees. So 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. My commute to the office is left, and left. Too bad I'm not a Democrat. One neighbor makes pretzels for a living. Other neighbor does something for Johnson & Johnson.
Something.
And the one across the street just sold their house. Don't know anymore. Don't care.
Good update.
That's a very good update.
Yeah, helpful.
From Scott in Alexandria, Virginia. Wait, did the Saints just Bortle that finish?
Oh.
That would be the operative verb at this point.
Yeah, they were Bortle.
Doug Webster. Dear Dr. Mr. Grandpa, best back-to-back games I've ever seen. The only disappointment was a cameraman shot of Bud Grant cut out Reginald. There's no way Bud Grant would attend that game without his longtime companion. Fortunately, we have another shot to see Reginald next week. What happened to our music?
It just cut out.
Our music stopped.
Well, you know what
good
to do.
72 do and sunny over in La Jolla. Please tell Michael. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, do wear white. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Applaud yourselves.
How about those apples?